Now, when you go to church or to synagogue, or when you go to the theatre, you're going to two very different things, I'd maintain, in our culture. But if you're a Greek and you're going to a theatrical performance, the first thing that you'll see will be a sacrifice performed on the altar by the priests who are presiding over that religious festival. And that entire performance will be conducted to the greater glory and in honour of a god, usually Dionysus. So there is a god watching over the performance, and the performance takes place during his festival. And it isn't something where you can choose a play here or a play there. There is one set of plays on one day of the festival, and another set of days on the next day of the festival, and another set of plays on the next day of the festival. And the entire community, not just people who are lucky to buy tickets that Saturday night, but the entire community is present at this religious theatrical festival. So in just these two areas where it's so easy to think that we are the descendants of the Greeks, we see illustrated this idea that for as much as we are like the Greeks, we are also in many respects quite different from them. And that makes it very difficult in some respects to understand their world clearly. Now, in order to understand how we relate to the Greeks, we have to begin this series of lectures by talking a little bit about how the discipline of classical studies and ancient history came about. How is it that if you go to a university, there will be a college professor trained to teach you this particular material? How do we frame the Greeks? How do we turn them into something that we can teach? Well, classical culture is not something that we've remained connected to throughout the centuries, going back to the ancient world at all. In fact, as you probably all know, after the Middle Ages, in the Renaissance, the very name of the period means the rebirth, there was a rediscovery of much of ancient culture. And yet, most of the ancient culture that was rediscovered during that period was actually Roman and Latin. The culture of Roman Italy and the culture of the Latin language. And the Greeks really lagged behind, partly because most people couldn't read Greek and partly because many of the texts had not yet been discovered and opened up for study. You remember the famous adage about Shakespeare, a man who knew little Latin and less Greek. So for a long time, Western Europe was aware of the fact that there had been a Greek culture, but they were not terribly clear on what that culture had really been like because they knew of it mainly through a Latin filter, through the filter of Roman culture. The rediscovery of the Greeks really begins to take off in the 18th and in the 19th centuries. It's especially associated with German scholars, and in particular a German art historian and critic, Johannes Winckelmann. Not only did he show that there were Greek vases in Italy that attested to a much earlier, more wonderful culture, an aesthetically advanced culture, but at the same time also, the same period saw the development of a movement known as the Philhellenic movement. It means quite literally the lovers of the Greeks. But there is quite a specific political value to that term, because as you probably know, up until the early 19th century, Greece was actually under the control of the Turkish Empire. Now, the power of Turkey looming on the edges of Greece was something that the Western powers were concerned about. And it seemed as if the support of Greek culture was, in a way, a kind of claim to make Greece European and to save it from the Turk. Now, of course, at the very same time, many Greeks themselves also were beginning to agitate for independence. And there was a very bloodthirsty war of independence fought in Greece in the 1820s, from which we can date the origins of the modern Greek nation. And the support that Western countries gave to Greece at that time was very much predicated on the notion that they were saving Greece because Greece was the culture that was the core root culture from which Western European culture came. And so you find a curious combination, really, of both scholarship and contemporary politics in the works of some of the most influential writers of the period in the 19th century. And I'm referring to travel writers.